Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we continue that sermon, Secured in God's Love. We had the part one last week. If you were not here, the message is available on our website. You can always go back and listen. I encourage you in the church, you know, when you listen to a message that blessed you, you can go back and listen so you can meditate. You can always get something more. And most of our messages are available on our website. So you can go there, whether on your desktop or laptop or smartphone, and listen. And because when you do that, you are meditating and you can get more from what God has spoken. Amen. So I'm going to start my sermon today with a simple question. Yeah? How many of you believe that God loves you? You believe? You're not sure? I mean, do you believe that God loves you? Yeah, because I can't allow you not to say it. Amen? No, the question is this. How much does God love you? Yes, I want some answers. You say God loves you. Yeah? How much does God love you? Describe it. Let's have some adjectives to describe how much God loves you. And then we go into the Word of God to look at it. Okay, starting from the youngest. How much does God love you?
Undescribably big.
Undescribably big. That's a good answer. Yes. The perfect answer is something that you can reference back to the Word of God anyway. But go on. How much does God love you?
God loved me so much that He sent His Son
to die for you.
To die for me.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, that's a very, very good answer. That's a good one. Yes? How much does God love you? Grandma?
I know that God loves me because I can wake up today and have a good breath.
Hallelujah. God loves you so much that you can go to bed and rise up. It's not in your power. Hallelujah. Every time you go to bed and rise up, it's a miracle. It's not in your power. Amen. It's the love of God that enables you to go to bed and rise up the next day. Amen? Yes? How much does God love you? Let's have three more answers. How much does God love you?
Greatly.
Greatly. Indescribably big. In fact, God loves you so much, He sent His only Son. You know? And God loves you so much that you can go to bed and rise up the next day. Yes? I'm looking for two more answers. You know? And if you can try to refer it back to something you've seen in the Bible, that would be good. How much does God love you? Pinky.
His love is unconditional.
Ha. God loves you with an unconditional love. We'll explain that later. Yes, Danica, because you nodded. I'm going to pick you. How much does God love you? Yes. So how much does God love you?
Immeasurably, and He loves me that He would not withhold whatever He knows is good from me.
Ah, God loves you so much that, you know, that's a scripture. Psalm 84. I hope I got it right this time. Psalm 84 said, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Let's go there. Not in my sermon, but let's just do it. Psalm 84. I hope I got it. Psalm 84, verse 11, not verse 18. I know, last week I quoted 18 for 11. Psalm 84, verse 11, please read. Listen.
For the Lord God is our sun and our shield.
For the Lord God is our sun and is our what?
Shield.
Our shield. Go on.
It gives us grace and glory.
It gives us grace and glory. Yes.
The Lord will withhold no good thing.
No good thing. From will those, he withhold
from those who do what is right.
From those who do what is right. Like we said earlier on, it is not God that is against you. Amen. You don't blame God. Whatever has happened or whatever is happening, don't ever blame God. Yeah? There are other forces at work in life, including yourself. You're also a force. Hallelujah, because you have free will, but not God. God is not against you. Hallelujah. And He will never withhold anything good from you. If something goes wrong in your life, it is not God who is trying to destroy you. Hallelujah. There are other forces. Oh, it's not God. Hallelujah. If you begin to doubt the love of God, you will miss God. Hallelujah. If you begin to doubt the love of God, you will cut yourself off from the blessing. Hallelujah. Because you know why? Because doubt is the opposite of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. So I have a permanent position. Yeah? I cannot blame God for anything. So that even in a downtime, I will still lift up my hand and say, Father, I thank you because you are faithful. Hallelujah. I thank you because it is not you that is against me. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You see, it is very important to be established in God's love. It's important to be rooted in God's love. That is the greatest security you can have in life. When you understand that God loves you. And he is never against you. Now, even when I've done wrong, God is still not against me. He's there with open arms, waiting for me to run back to him. As I keep explaining to people, I say, when you do wrong, you don't run away from God. You run back to God. Because he's the one that can fix you. He's the one that can cleanse you. He's the one that can fix you. There is no situation in this world that you say, okay, God has rejected me. No, God will not reject you if you don't reject him. Hallelujah. No matter where you are, you run back to him and say, God, this is where I am. Yeah? You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they ran away to hide. And so God came. He said, Adam, where are you? Of course, God knew where he was. But God wanted Adam to realize that he could not hide anyway. Hallelujah. You can run, but you cannot hide. Romans 8:32. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Let's have someone read it. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. Yes. Sister T.Y. Romans chapter 8 verse 32.
He who did not spare his own son.
Let's read verse 31. Sorry.
Okay. What then shall we say to?
What can we say to all these things? Now those things are everything you are going through or you've gone through. Hallelujah. What will be your response? You understand? I tell you, I was saying to one of my sisters before, I said, it's not everything you go to in life that will be palatable, that you will be, you know, you sometimes in life you go through pain. You go through frustration or rejection or persecution. Sometimes in life you have to persevere. You know? You know what God has said. God might have even given you a dream and a vision and has made it plain. This is what God has said. Yeah? Like God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, yeah, I'm going to give you a son. And you're going to be the father of many nations. When did that word first come out? And when was it fulfilled? A long time. Yeah? And you're persevering and say, what's happened? What's happening? Is God's word not true again? It is true. But you may have to persevere. It's one of those things you may have to go through in life. It doesn't mean you will always go through them, but from time to time you may have to go through uncertainty. Yeah? You may, I said. Hallelujah. Please continue. What shall we say to all these things? Yes?
If God is for us.
If God is for us.
Who can be against us?
Let me ask you a question. What will make God to be for you? So because there's a condition there, I'm coming back to you, but there's a condition. He said, if God is for us, what can be against us? So the question is that, before I can be sure that nothing that is coming against me is enough to destroy me, I have to be sure that God is for me. So, but what is the proof that God is for you? We said this last week. Yes? The proof that God is for you. How do you know that God is for you? Yes, how do you know that God is for you? Or is it just that God just likes your face?
He sent his one and only son.
Hallelujah. He sent his one and only son. I remind you of the proof that God is for you. We said it last week, but I want to remind you. 1 John 3. Go to 1 John chapter 3. And let's read verse 1. 1 First John chapter 3, verse 1. Yes, who's going to read? I'm going to go around, so if I see that you are too quiet, I'm coming to you. It's very simple. I'll just give you the mic. First John chapter 3, verse 1. How do you know that God is for you? Yes? Yes, Sister Kemi.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God.
Okay, let's just obey. Thank you. He said, see what great love. You see, the proof that God is for you is because you're a child of God. It's not every human being that can say God is for them. And God is not for everybody. Hallelujah. God is not for the sinner. They don't have any inheritance in the kingdom. The only thing that God does for the sinner is to reach out to them so that they can receive him. Receive and believe. So whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. But have what? Everlasting life. But for you that have received Jesus, and I keep telling people, I say, you cannot, somebody say cannot. You cannot receive Jesus by mistake. You cannot receive Jesus by association. It's a conscious, deliberate decision you make. Hallelujah. If you are not sure you've made that decision to receive Jesus, you need to make it. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter whether your father is the Bishop of London. If you have not consciously made the decision that Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you as my Savior and as my Lord. You know, I said last week, I said, you may be good, but if you don't have Jesus, you are a good sinner. You may be highly responsible, but if you don't have Jesus, you are what? A highly responsible sinner. We see it all the time in politics. Yeah, in this country. You see all the MPs finely dressed, talking nice, politically correct. But beyond what you see, some things are going on under. Until the day that the media brings it out, then they will resign. And they will tell you that they are so sorry for letting you down. But they were doing it and they would have continued on if they were not caught. Are you with me? They are highly responsible what? Sinners. Hallelujah. But when you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. Now somebody say, does that mean I won't sin again? No. But your identity has changed. Hallelujah. A sinner wants to sin. The only reason why a sinner doesn't sin is so that they won't be caught. Hallelujah. But a child of God, from their heart, they don't want to sin. They may be tempted, they may be pressured, they may fall, but really in their heart, they don't want to sin. And the moment they sin, even before they are caught, they will repent. Because they want to please God from the bottom of their heart. Are you with me? And so when you receive Jesus, it gives you a new heart. Somebody say, a new heart. I have received. I'm a child of God. And that's the guarantee that God loves me. You don't need any other guarantee. See how much love the Father has bestowed. It's a gift. God's love towards you is what? A gift. He has bestowed it on you. That you should be called what? It changes your identity. Let me explain this. You see, in your experience in life, you may see things coming against you. You may even go through repeated experiences of things coming against you. But don't let that define who you are. Your identity matters. Because if you get your identity right, you can kick the devil out. Hallelujah. You are not what your situation is. You are a child of God. Now what you need to do to your situation is Job 22:28. You need to remind your situation day and night that you are a child of God. And he doesn't have any right to dominate or lord it over you. Hallelujah. You see, you need to understand that the fact that things are going bad does not mean that God doesn't love you. And I've not given you the perfect answer to that question. How much does God love you? Open to Jeremiah chapter 31. Now we give you my perfect answer on how much God loves you. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm looking for verse 3. Jeremiah, where's Jeremiah? His mom we have to read, or his dad. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Okay, mom is busy. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. And if we go to Isaiah today, we know who will read that. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Please read.
Amen. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness, I have drawn you.
Amen. You see that? Hallelujah. That's how much God loves you. He said, I have loved you. With what? And ever, you know, you that's the only, once you are secure in God's love, nothing can prevail. They can come, but they cannot prevail. Are you with me? They can come, but they cannot what? Prevail. They can come, but they cannot what? Prevail. I always explain, I've said it in this chapter, I'm saying it again. When the devil has done his worst, that still doesn't stop God from doing his best. Hallelujah. The devil did his worst, he crucified Jesus. It was over. But God raised him from what? The dead. If I don't know if you understand the story, Jesus didn't just die, he went to hell. And the devil held him bound, thinking that he had him forever. And then you may think, oh, but Jesus is Son of God. Yes, but he came in human flesh. Yeah? So he had to follow that law of human flesh. See, before Jesus died, before Jesus came, everybody who died had to go down. They went down. So the devil, all the demons of hell, they gathered around that. You are not going anywhere. Hallelujah. But God didn't even raise the first day. Say, God is a God of order. He does things accordingly. Amen. He's not a lawless God. Hallelujah. Yeah. He does things accordingly. Say to yourself, say, there are lower laws and there are higher laws. Let me explain. You see, if you want to break a lower law, you need to find a higher law. So for example, if the magistrate court gives a decision and someone is not happy, they appeal to what? The High Court. High Court gives a decision. They're not happy. They appeal to what? Appeal Court. Then from Appeal Court, Supreme Court. Are you with me? There are lower and there are higher laws. The law of gravity is a law. It's a law of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you throw yourself from the roof, whether because you are very happy or you are very sad, the law of gravity will not sympathize with you. It will do what is put there to do. Are you with me? But there's a higher law that says he will give his angels charge over you. Hallelujah. Now, there are situations when you need to operate that higher law and it will work and suspend the law of gravity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are lower laws and there are higher laws. Amen. But you need to secure yourself in God's love. He has loved me. I don't know about you, but I'm saying for myself. God has loved me with an everlasting love. Because I have received Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. The Bible said a just man, he falls 7 times. That doesn't necessarily mean falling into sin. It means things may go wrong, but he cannot rise again. Hallelujah. Job, he said, don't rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will rise again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the love. The love keeps you. Hallelujah. The love keeps you. You are not just anybody. You need to know who you are. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are accepted in the kingdom. Not because of you. It's because of Jesus. It's because you received Jesus. And it means that no matter what the devil is doing, God is at work in your life. Open to Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We did this last week. Just to remind you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Yes, let me find someone to read me. Someone who has not read today. Yes. Sharon, are you there? Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
And we will, and we know.
We know. Go on.
That in all things God works for the good of those who love Him.
In all things. Somebody say, in all things. God is working. Don't forget that. Hello? Don't forget that. It's not only when things turn out good. Even when things turn out bad, even though you expected them to be good, God has seen it. You know, sometimes you think that maybe God did not see. You think you are left on your own. God has seen it. He has seen what has happened. And He has brought up a revised plan. Yeah? To turn it around. You know, it's like you are driving. Yeah? On the road. And you are using a navigator. Everybody ever used a navigator before? Yeah? Anybody ever driven with a sat-nav? Yeah? I hope it's a good one, not a bad one. And then he says, turn at the roundabout, turn, what? Turn left. Yes. Oh, no. Take the first exit. No, actually, that's not where the confusion. First exit is easy. Take the second exit. Maybe there are 5 exits. And then you're driving. And you're looking very hard for the exit. Then there's a tiny one, you missed it. And you're off your way. Yeah? So instead of second, you're taking third exit and you're off your way. Then, what will he tell you? Say, turn around when possible. Hallelujah. You know, the situation has hit, but that's not the end of the road. Hello? The situation, please talk to your neighbor, tell them, say, the situation that has hit your life is not the end of the road. Hallelujah. Because in all things, God is working. Hallelujah. He will remap you back to destination. He will what? He will remap you. You know why the sat-nav can do that? Because it has a big map. He can see much more than you can see. Hallelujah. The same way I explained last week, I said the fact that God loves you necessarily means that God has a plan for your life. God loving you means that God has what? A plan for your life. I was trying to explain last week. Said, God's plan is better than your plan. So those are your good plans. Anybody have a good plans? Yeah? You know what you want to do tomorrow or in the future? Yeah? You know what you want to become? You know what you want to be in 10 years time? Yeah? You know what you want to eat for lunch? Abby. Hallelujah. You having a plan is not a bad thing. Yeah? It's an evidence that you're a living spirit. You see, animals, they are very limited in their plan. All their plan is centered around food and security. Hello? Say to yourself, I'm not an animal. I'm a talking spirit. Hallelujah. So one of the major difference between you and the animal is that God has given you the gift, the creative gift of imagination. Through that you can plans. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. But all your plans compared to the plan of God, they are petty. Now petty just means compared. They are inconsequential. Amen? Because you can only see so much, but God can see much more. Hallelujah. And God has a plan. We explained it last week that the reason why God is working is because He has a plan. The only reason why that sat nav will remap you back to destination is because you gave it the destination. Yeah? If you like, have the best sat nav in the world. No destination. Not going to help you. Amen? God has a plan. There is a destination that God wants to take you to. Whether on a daily basis or on the long term basis. God has both short term and long term destinations. Yeah? And every time something happens that distracts or deters you, He's working to bring you back into that master plan. Hallelujah. So that in all things, He will take the glory. Then you know what you will take? When God takes the glory, what do you take?
Let me find you. Where's the mic?
When God takes the glory, come anytime you are trying to take the glory, you don't know what you are missing. Whenever God takes the glory in your life, what do you get?
Blessing.
You get the blessing. Hallelujah. You know, I was explaining this to my brother during the week. I said, I'm not of the school that tells you that God has blessed you. And you are so blessed, so you don't need to do anything. You are wasting your time. We should just go home and sleep. Hallelujah. God has blessed you. Amen? But every time you walk in the will of God, that blessing becomes reality for you. Hallelujah. God has blessed you means that God has permanently made up His mind to bless you. It's not an afterthought. It's not something I don't have to fast for 10 days to change God's mind about blessing me. Hallelujah. Maybe in the Old Testament it was different, but since Jesus died, I have become a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm on the good side of God. Hallelujah. He's loved me with an everlasting love. So that means that permanently He's working for my good. Hallelujah. But if I don't cooperate with Him, I cannot enter the fullness of that blessing. Are you with me? If I sit back, because I found out one thing about God, He will never force you to do anything. He will prepare the table before you, even in the midst of your enemies. But if you like, don't eat. He will not put it in your mouth. You know why He will not put it in your mouth? Do you know why? Do you know why? Everybody tell me why will God not put the food in your mouth? Why will He just prepare the table before you? He will even go all lengths to prepare it in the midst of your enemies. But why will He not put it in your mouth?
Because we have the free will.
Because you have the free will. You know what I was looking for? Because you're not a baby. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Ask them, say, are you a baby? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at something in Romans 8:28. I didn't say this last week. I need to explain it. Because you can just go off and misunderstand what we're saying. Romans 8:28. So let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 again. Sister Frida, are you there? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The mic is here. Romans 8:28. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I missed something last week. Yes, that's why I need to encourage her. Okay, Sister PJ will help you. Ah, yes. Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us.
You see that? Thank you so much, Sister PJ, because that was the version we read last week. Amplified. It's a God who is deeply concerned. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how you do it. When you are in a situation that you feel that God is far from you, you know what you need to do? The last thing you should do is you should be praying, God, where are you? You just sack God. Don't you understand? God, who is omnipresent, you're asking Him where He is. That's not a statement of faith. Are you with me? Because that means that God has gone on holiday. And the Bible says He will never slumber nor what? Sleep. So don't pray like that. Don't say, oh God, you know, can't you see me in this situation? That's a useless question. He sees you all the time. Hallelujah. In fact, He even sees your heart. Not just your body. Amen? What you need to do when you are in the situation whereby you feel that God is far, is to open your mouth and begin to confess and thank. You know, the first thing you need to do is say, Father, I thank you. Because even in this valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Now that's a statement of faith. And actually, not just faith, it's a statement of the spiritual reality. It may not be your physical reality, but it's the spiritual reality. The only time it's not true is if you've checked out from being a child of God. If you've checked out, yes, then you don't have any reason to believe that it's with you. But if you are still a child of God, it is with you. So you have to turn it back to you and say, Father, I thank you. I don't understand why I should be here. But I thank you because you will never leave me nor forsake me. I don't understand why things are taking so long. But I thank you because you are able to make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't understand why someone stole my song and the other person I went to made it worse. But I thank you because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. You know why God can do more than you ask or think? Because God is working in the background. Hallelujah. He's always working. God doesn't slumber nor sleep. And that's why in heaven there will be no night. Hello? Are you listening to me? In heaven, you will not need to sleep. Hallelujah. In heaven, you will never be tired. Amen? You will not need to sleep. Because God doesn't sleep. Are you with me? Please continue. That's why we know that God, who is deeply concerned about us. And when I don't feel that God is concerned about me, I will need to just say it back to him and say, Father, thank you because you are concerned about me. Amen? That connects you back to faith. Yes, continue.
Causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those.
Listen to that. God causes all things to work together as what?
As a plan.
You see, I told you, see, God has, well, God loving you means he has a plan for your life. We're saying this in Home's Fellowship. I said, you don't work with God by taking all your plans. You know? Have you ever had to sign a document and you needed a witness? Yeah? So you have to sign a document. I don't know what document. Maybe financial document. And they said you need a signature witness. Yeah? Then you go to someone to witness your signature. Yeah? Then you cover the whole thing. Say, all I need you to do is look at this signature and sign. That's how we treat God. You have your plan. God, don't please. I'm begging you. I took a long time to make this plan. And the plan, I fine-tuned it. It's now perfect. I don't need any interference. But I need your signature to make it legal. Are you with me? That's how we do with our plans. But actually, God himself is the one who has the plan. What I'm supposed to do is begin to cooperate with God. As you cooperate with God, he will unveil his plan to you. He will help you kick out your petty plan. And he will give you a better one. Amen. Anything that God is telling you to do, your life is always going to be better for it. Amen. Anything. Because God is permanently committed to your good. Anything that God has been nudging you. And I said it before, I said God will not force you. But you know what he will do? He will prompt you. He will nudge you. Yeah. He will stimulate you. He will send people to you. He will do it, but he can't force you. Amen? So what you need to do is when God is nudging you and prompting you, follow his plan. That plan is better. If you don't, 5 years later, you may find yourself back to that same point. Are you with me? God's plan is better. And even when you missed it, God has worked out the alternative route. Amen? And all you still need to do is cooperate. Trust and what? Obey. Hallelujah. And then he will get you back in his plan. Which is the best plan for your life. The only reason why you think that God's plan is not the best plan is because you don't trust him. You think he will cheat you and take something from you. Something, what he gave you already. Yeah, without him you are nothing. I know you are wearing a beautiful cloth. I can't poke at my wife anymore now. Sister Ronke. Oh, Sister Pinky. Today is pink. Hallelujah. Or grandma with blue. Hallelujah. But God's plan for your life is bigger than your clothes. Your fine clothes. Amen? It's bigger than your qualification. It's bigger than your intelligence. I know you are very smart. Yeah? Sometimes you can be so smart you can't take instruction. God's plan is bigger. Hallelujah. Now, when you allow God, somebody say allow. You know what he does? He doesn't throw away all your assets and qualifications. He uses them for his glory. And then that opens a doorway for the blessings to come raining down. Some things will come into your life that you didn't pray for. You know, now some people are wasting time praying and fasting for something. But when you allow God, some things will just come. You didn't pray for them. Because it's an automatic byproduct of cooperating with God. He said, but I didn't even ask for this. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? When you cooperate with God and you enter his plan, you don't lose your life. You fulfill the purpose of your life. Hallelujah. Please finish this, Sapidjan.
To who are called according to his plan and purpose.
Yes. Now, I want that verse from New Living. Sister Frida, I'm coming back to you. Are you still there? Or are you back to night shift? All right. Verse 28. Yes. Please, look at that verse. I want to show you something there. Go on.
Okay.
Romans 8:28.
And we know that God causes everything to work together.
Yes.
For the good of those who love God.
For the good of everybody?
No.
For the good of everybody?
No.
For the good of those who dress well? For the good of those who went to school? For the good of those who are very careful with their finances? For the good of who? Those who love God. So that means that if I want to enter the fullness of Romans 8:28, the blessing, I need to understand what it means to love God. Once I understand it, I can be secure. Hallelujah. Once I understand what it means to love God and I walk in it, I can be secure. Whether mountain is shaking or valley is moving, I can be secure. Hallelujah. That nothing is going to move me. Hallelujah. There was an earthquake, a true story, somewhere. I don't know whether it was in America or whatever. And there was this older woman, a believer, you know, and everything was shaking. She was just there in a tiny room. She prayed all through. You know, every other building fell. Every other thing fell, but that little house remained standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you are secure in God's love, it doesn't matter what's falling. At the end, you will remain standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So question now. So I'm hoping to round up in 10 minutes. Question is this. What does it mean to love God? Or let me see how I put it. Yes, no, I didn't say that. How can you, so all things work together for the good of those who love God? Yes? Is that what the Bible said? So I'm asking, how can you love God properly? Since you want, anybody here wants everything to work for their good? Anybody, put up your hands, you want everything, whether good or bad, you want them to work together for something good for you. And you want to be confident to say to anybody, even when you're going to a bad night, it's going to work for my good. Somebody's opposing you, you're laughing. See, they're just wasting their time. They are going to, after all their noise, it will work for my own good. You know, once you know that, you can't be shaken by anything. Yeah. Hallelujah. But it's for those who love God. So how can you love God properly? Yes?
It's a very tricky one.
Because I'm looking for a spiritual answer. I don't mean a Bible answer. I just mean an answer that is deep. How can you, or how can a human being, love God properly? Yes.
I believe by doing his will, we can love him.
Yes.
Yeah, by doing his will.
Let me allow you, so don't go too far. That's a good answer. It's a good answer. It's around the corner. Yes. How can you love God properly? Or let me make it deeper, because that answer is around the corner. What is the very step, first step you need to take to love God properly? Yes.
I think accepting him as our, well, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's a good answer. They are all very much around the corner where I'm looking for. How can you love God properly? I'll go for Brother Fernando, I'll come to you. How can you love God properly?
By receiving and believing that he loves you.
Everybody, please put your hands together for Brother Fernando. He hit it. Do you want to improve on that?
No.
Hallelujah. That's not the final total answer, but it's the first step. Yes, Brother Tola? Let me take that. I will explain that to you so you understand why it's important.
By faith.
Yes, and that's absolutely right. It connects to that. I'm going to explain it to you. Let me explain this. You see, in your own human power, you don't have what it takes to love God properly. You will love nice houses, nice cars, nice food. Those are the things you have. And you will probably, if you come from a good family, you will love your family. If you come from a bad family, you will hate them. Are you with me? In your own human power, that's what you have the capacity for. You love those who love you and you hate those who hate you. That's your natural capacity. So naturally, you don't have what it takes to love God properly. Because when you try to love God in your natural capacity, all you have is emotion and reason. So when it feels good, you will love God. That's emotion. Or when it's reasonable. Yeah? Or maybe something good has happened to you. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Then somebody goes to a funeral and say, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. It's like, what are you saying? You know, the Lord is still good. Even in the funeral. He's faithful. He changes not. Hallelujah. He changes not. But you don't do that. Okay. Are you with me? So in our natural capacity, we can only love God with our emotion or our reason. Because that's all we got. In our soul. The soul is your will, your reason, and your emotion. Are you with me? So the first step to loving God properly is to receive his love. You got to open up your heart and receive what? He said, behold, see how much love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. You can only love God properly with the love you have received from him as a gift. Are you with me? You have to open up your heart and receive his love. You will never love God properly until you accept that he loves you more than any other person and more than any other thing. You will never love God properly until you accept that he is committed to you. You will never love God properly until you understand that the best gift ever that God can give you is his love. It's not that thing you are praying for. Now listen to me. The best gift that God can give you has nothing to do with what you are praying for. They are small. It's his love. Hallelujah. His love then overflows to give you another blessing you have. Now, if you don't understand that God's love is the greatest gift, when things go wrong, you will ditch God. Hallelujah. Because you're seeking God for little things. Hallelujah. But if you understand that God's love is the greatest thing, then nothing can separate you from his love. Hallelujah. They are too small. Hallelujah. Because God's love is the greatest gift. Are you with me? So you have to receive his love. And how do you receive his love? It's not by fasting. It's by faith. Hallelujah. You receive his love by faith. Hallelujah. You make Jesus your Lord by faith. And you know, faith without corresponding action is dead. And that's why Statoin's part comes in. That when you have received his love, you will follow. Amen? You cannot love God properly and not follow him. That's where obedience comes in. you receive his love. So these are my two, because of time, these are my two answers. To love God properly, you need to receive his love and you need to respond to his love. Love always demands response. Genuine love. Are you with me? Genuine love always demands what? Response. So your obedience to God is a response. It's not a keeping of a religious code. You see, you cannot do that voluntarily. You're just doing it. If you're keeping religious codes, you'll be watching for how you can get away with some things. Because you're just, they said, you don't want to. But when you receive his love, it changes your heart. And the wanting to is there. You want to please him. Because he has now become your greatest treasure. Hallelujah. Now, when you enter it, when you begin to live like that, all things must work together for your good. But, and I tell you why they work is that it's not in the power of those things to work. It's because God is the one at the background. Because you have received his love and you are responding, he is committed, having loved you with an everlasting love, to work everything for what? Your good. In the physical, it may look like you are done for. But God is not moved by that. Hallelujah. God is not moved by the physical. Hallelujah. He is the one who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. Bible says that he did not spare his son. Yeah? But gave him up for us freely. So how will he not also with him give us all things? But you see, the foundation is to be established in his love. Hallelujah. If you are not established in God's love, you are just trying to use God. And you will fail. Because nobody can use God. They will only use themselves or deceive themselves. But when you are established in his love, yeah, everything begins to work for your good. Amen. Sometimes, due to human error, or due to, you know, maybe external attack, or due to some things you don't understand, ignorant, things may go wrong. Yeah? I never preached and said, you can be sure nothing will ever go wrong. But if you are secure in God, he will work everything together. Yeah? For your good. It's not you working it. It's God working in you and through you to bring you to destination. God, for every route you plan, God has 10,000 alternative routes. Hallelujah. He can bring you to destination. If only you will trust him. And you will obey. Let me round up with that last statement and say, if you're in whatever situation, two things you need most is trust God. And I tell you, you are not trusting God when you start saying it back to him. Hello? You can't trust God silently. I'm sorry. Talk to your neighbor. We are rounding up. So talk to your neighbor. Tell them, say, you can't trust God silently. You have to say it to him. But I trust you. Hallelujah. If I pray, if I find something in my body that should not be there, I first go to the word of God. I see what the word of God says. I rebuke it. I say, leave my body. It's my body. It's not his body. It's a stranger. Am I right? Who is the owner of the body? The stranger of the owner. Leave my body, but you must in the name of Jesus. By the way, when you want to use the name of Jesus like that, make sure that you reserve that name for those jobs. Don't use that name as a job word. Because you are training your heart the wrong way. Amen? Reserve the name for the deal. Now, when you've done that, you have sowed the seed. It has entered. Yeah? Now, some days may go on. You may see the symptom of that thing. There are two things you can do for diversity, because we get tired of one. Some days I wake and say, Father, I thank you He goes, this is gone. It's a confession. I'm making it legal. Hallelujah. The other day I wake up and say, excuse me, you are gone. You are gone. And it goes. It must go. It must. If you believe. So I tried to teach my children. I said, when you pray, you must believe. Don't just say you pray and God will answer. No. Maybe as a baby. But as you begin to grow, you must believe in what you are praying. If you believe that God is hearing you and that what you are praying is granted, it will be granted. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry, you are breaking that spiritual law. Are you with me? Glory to God. Right, let's stop there. Hallelujah. Let's just say God has a plan for my life. And He is working. Day and night. To fulfill His plan. All I need to do is to stay secure in God's love. Okay, Brother Tola, come, let's sing Trust and Obey to round up that message.
For the slides to come up. I want you to sing this hymn differently.